and welcome to the Sun Leaders Podcast. My name is Whitney Smith. I am the owner and attorney of Your Rental Property Attorney, PLLC, which is a real estate law firm that focuses primarily on landlords. Due to my firm's unique niche, I spend the majority of my time and energy thinking about the real estate industry, landlord-tenant relationships, and affordable housing communities. I find both positive and negative factors that affect the real estate industry are interrelated with and co-affect the housing community and likewise trickle down to affect our landlord-tenant relationships. I believe through effective leadership, we can make more positive changes in these industries, and therefore I wanted to focus my episodes for the Sun Leaders podcast on female leaders in either the real estate industry or the affordable housing communities that are specifically leading a team or community to betterment. And so I am very excited to introduce my next guest, Luz Colon, a powerhouse in the real estate industry as a mother of four and a watcher of her little niece, realtor and CEO of the Hivex Group. Luz champions a collaborative hive work mentality, leading her team to unparalleled success. Her dynamic leadership style and commitment to fostering a supportive environment makes her a trailblazer in both real estate and team empowerment. So join us as we delve into Luz's insights on leadership and achieving triumph in the real estate realm. Luz, I am so excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
So I am really interested in Hivex Group and your collaborative style and how you've gotten there. But to begin, why don't you share a bit about your journey in real estate and then how you became the owner of Hivex Group?
I got into real estate. My father is an appraiser and he had tried to talk to me about it a year prior. And I was a stay-at-home mom. I was actually teaching and tutoring and I was on a homeschool group. And I was doing all of that. I actually was a teacher before that. And then I was in banking for 15 years. So people are like, oh, you must have been doing houses. I said, I worked for HSBC in the bankruptcy department, I think for a year. Mm-hmm. But that was it. Everything else was banking, personal checking, small business, things like that. Then I became a teacher. And then I got into a car accident. And I just stayed home with the kiddos, got my degree to be a teacher. And then right before COVID, which is funny because I entered the industry where teaching with COVID became so popular from home, I actually became a realtor.
Right.
But yeah, so he tried to talk me into it a year prior and I'm like, no. And he's like, you know, you're not making enough. And, you know, I just want to pass on a future for you. I'm an appraiser. I'm a small business owner. And I just think you'd be great at it. He's like, I've met a lot of realtors that are just not great. And I'm like, no, I was really scared, actually. I remember enrolling for the course and then I started reading through it. And I was like, this is hard. And then a year later, he had like an intervention and he's like, I'll pay for your classes and everything. And so I finally said yes, passed the test after the second time. The first time, my photo looked so bad. I actually use it as an example because it was so bad. It was like hours lost of sleep. I overstudied. And then I passed it in August of 2019. So I started the course in July, ran through it. Passed it in August of 2019. And then I interviewed with firms and I started at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Florida Properties Group. And I was there until just January of 2023. And now I'm with Keller Williams Suburban Tampa.
I didn't realize how early it has been. So it hasn't been that much time.
No, I'm still a baby, they say. When you're 5 years and under, I believe they still call me a rookie. But I don't look at it like that. One of the reasons actually why I went to Keller Williams is because there's a lot of people that there's no glass ceiling. I fell at Berkshire. It would reach my glass ceiling. I was a top producer. I was always number three or number five of our office or the company total. And I just felt like I wasn't like pushing or growing or learning anything new. And now it's like I remember going to family reunion and meeting these like top dog agents that are collaborating, that are in the same thing as me. Like I'm not competitive. I'm very like relational. I feel like there's enough business to go around for everyone, whether it's lending, whether it's real estate. And I really think that we should babes support babes. Women should empower women. And I really feel like we should all collaborate. And when I sat in this room at family reunion and I was getting educated from like these people that have done so much for themselves. And not only that, their morals in Keller Williams, it's God, family, business. Like, we don't want you to kill yourself trying to sell houses. And a lot of realtors and mortgage lenders and stuff, guess what? They're alcoholics, divorced. Some of them are not financially stable. So this is really, we want to educate. And so that's where, like I said, although I'm a rookie, this is where now I don't feel like that, because now I'm around people and I'm always going to be a rookie.
Right.
Look at it like that. I'm always wanting to learn. So whether I'm in this business 10, 15 years from now, guess what? I'm still going to want have that hunger to learn more, because there is no glass ceiling. And me growing up poor, I always felt like I'm not going to let that glass ceiling get to me. And my dad actually always reminds me of this paper that I wrote about it. He helped me with it. And he explained to me what a glass ceiling was, because I never understood it. Because I always said, I'm going to make it. I'm going to do it. And he goes, well, you can, but you need to know that there is something there that might stop you and you need to break through it.
Right. A paper that you wrote in school?
Yeah. I love writing and reading. So
can you explain what it was?
Yeah. So I had to talk about society. And so my bachelor's degree is in sociology and stuff like that.
I saw that in your biography, when I was doing a little research on you. And I was wondering also if that has played a role in your spirit for collaboration, because it was sociology, correct, that you were going for?
Okay. Yeah, for teaching. So in order to help the bank pay for it, I couldn't put teaching. So I had to do sociology and then test for my teaching. But yeah, I have always actually had an interest. I wanted to go into the Peace Corps, into anthropology and cultures. I always had a love for people. When I went to middle school, I went to a international studies school. And then, of course, I do love performing arts. So that is my first love. So I ended up switching. But I always loved people and the study of people. And growing up in the environment that I grew up in, we were poor. I was abused. I was in foster care. I wanted to understand kids and people and just understand how society worked, because I didn't have the right view of society.
Right.
And then going to church and learning that. And I was the only family member that went to church. And it was just very different. It was very hard because I really couldn't relate to anyone. I really didn't have any friends. So I honestly taught myself in books and leaned into cultures and leaned into how I can be a better person and an ethical person. And of course, I used my faith and my values as that. And then it wasn't until my father, who's the appraiser, he actually adopted me at 14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he adopted me and took me in, and he taught me a lot. And I wouldn't, if it wasn't for him, he bought me a car. He would have me clean the house and he would pay me and be responsible. And I had to go do groceries and he'd give me a budget. And, because I've been doing things alone for a very long time and taking care of myself. But he was trying to show me how I can be independent.
Yeah.
So than what I already was, but like smart. And, coming from where he was providing for me, it was really cool. And so that's how I was able to learn and adapt with. But yeah, he would help me because I loved, I had to write a paper about Ernest Hemingway, and we were very honest about him. And my teacher gave me a D because my dad, he studied him, he had family that knew him. And so the teacher did not like my version of describing Hemingway. But I would write papers about stuff like that, interesting, about society and just how we shouldn't have a glass ceiling, how we shouldn't, the color of my skin, my culture. I should not use the excuse that I was in foster care, that I grew up poor. There's no reason for that. I think I have, I can fight and I can burst through. Yes, do I have to fight harder? Absolutely. But I'm gonna give myself a presence in that room. So that's how I see it.
Well, thank goodness for your dad.
Yeah, for sure. I tell him that every day.
So you started around 2019 or 2020.
Yeah.
How did you come to create the Hivex Group?
So I actually had a team at Berkshire called the Starlight Group. I'm sure there's an Instagram lingering out there somewhere. It did not go well. The collaboration, I was still new. I started the team not expecting or having, I had goals, but I just wanted to just share my knowledge. But I didn't have a platform. I didn't have tools. I didn't have just a mission statement. And it didn't end well, let's just say. I still talked to a few of the people on the team, but I fell flat on my face. And that failure, though, taught me so much about what I now want to do in a team. And first and foremost, it's now involving my husband as director of operations, because I can't do things alone. And we did a mission statement, which is EAT. Everyone, we want everyone to be able to EAT real estate, educate, acquire, and transform. We want to educate you in the real estate market, buying, selling, property management, commercial, whatever you're doing. We want you to acquire wealth, right? And then we want to transform your life and transform others. And so that everyone eats.
I love that.
So we created, we just were praying about it and we took our time, right? So I joined in January. The goal was, you know, maybe mid-year, September, October, maybe we start like for the following year. But a couple of the ladies that I know from Berkshire are just in real estate. They were like, hey, one of them, Tiffany, she was like, can you adopt me, please? And I come. And so I told her, I was like, we're still working on this stuff. This was like April. But it ended up where she just needed my help and I wanted to help her. And I felt bad. She felt alone. And I said, you know what? Let's go for it. If God is opening this door, we're going to do it. And he sure did. And I signed my second agent, Vicky, in June, on Juneteenth, actually. there was a holiday. And then I have Evie now. So it's actually five of us, including my husband.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking for these agents for your hive, because essentially you're building a hive.
Yes, we are.
What qualities do you look for when you're building your team? Like, how do you ensure, do you try to ensure that diversity and have an inclusive work environment?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It just ends up being like my husband is, they call him Bishop, but my husband is like he's the wisdom. He's, you know, and he does our marketing and our photography. He actually does listings for other agents, not just our team. But we, like, if a guy came and wanted to be a part of the hive, we totally would do that too. It just happens that I had prayed. I said, if I'm going to start this team, because I felt so badly last time and I made mistakes. And I mean, even things in me that I had to work on, and losing my mom in August, actually, even more so, those girls were there. Like, I didn't, it was so funny because I didn't want to start this team till the end of the year, but I guess God had other plans because he knew I was going to need them as a pillar. And that's what I want. I just want people to be pillars for each other. We are not competitive with each other at all. If they're going through something, I call them. They pray for me. If, like, I just found out one of my listeners is going to be on HGTV, they were like, oh, my God, we want to be there and support you. There's no jealousy. You know, as long as there's no jealousy that everyone is on the same page, we're okay. We are faith-based, so we will pray for one another. You don't have to be, but we will pray for you. We you know, we just want to show you that we want to show the ethics in real estate. And that's why we say that we're faith-based, because we want to show that we believe in something rather than ourselves and we can't do it just by ourselves. I will also say, too, that to be in the hive, for me, I read this book, The Deborah Anointing. I'm reading The Esther Anointing. But I remember going to this conference after my mom passed in September, and they were like, it's time to be a Deborah and Esther in our world. We need to change the world from the inside out. We are the salt and we are light. And there are people out there hurting that. And just with real estate, like for me, I'm the only person in my family that owns a home. Like, we were taught as minorities that to live in that poverty mindset, rent, get on Section 8 and all of this stuff. So for us, we want to be able to transform people and show them, just because you're a minority or just because you're a female or just because you're this, or just because you can own real estate or you can build wealth. And so as long as you have that mentality that you want to be a leader, that you want to change, because that's what Deborah and Esther did. They changed their world when there were wars and there was so much going on. They made a difference and they were female in doing it. And back then in the culture, man, you really didn't have a voice. But yeah, you can also be a David if you come on the team.
So it brings up, because I find, you know, I've led quite a few teams and I found that a lot of times there's a challenge, especially when you are so close and so collaborative, to kind of find that sweet spot between friend and leader, like being able to call somebody out or, you know, set boundaries for the rest of your team. So have you found challenges in that? And like maybe that, I don't know if that was one of the challenges you found in your prior experience of trying to lead a team as to now.
That's actually a very good point, because that was one of the mistakes that I made, is that I was trying to collaborate with them and be their friend and they wanted a leader. They wanted me to tell them what to do. And there were times that I did tell them what to do, but it didn't also get done. And then I wouldn't follow through or be consistent. So this time around, I wanted to be able to be open and say, if you're going to join the Hivex group, this is what Will and I, this is our vision. And you're either there or you're not.
Right. You set that boundary at the beginning.
I set that boundary at the beginning. I will say, Evie has been able to come to me and say, I need this from you. I'm not getting it. And I have told them, when you guys want to have a one-on-one, we're all adults. We all feed ourselves. We cook, right? So if you need a one-on-one from me, I tell them, I put it in your corner. I am here every day available. You want to have a one-on-one weekly? We set it on the calendar. I am here. But you have to come to me and say, hey, I need a one-on-one with you. I'm not understanding how to put this into command or how to set up this smart plan or how am I going to target this address, this location that I'm looking for, or so on and so forth. I give classes. We have weekly meetings. But I tell them, I put it also in their court. Like, if you need me, you have to tell me. But we have been able to have difficult conversations. And that's where I feel like this time I know that it's right and it's been different because I've been able to go to them and say, hey, you forgot to contact so-and-so. What's going on? Like, and I've told them, if I give you leads, I cannot be behind you. I've given them like over 500 leads. You guys have to be on time. And I tell them, and then the friend hat will come on later. Like Friday, we're going to a resort day. And we're just going to take that day to decompress, to bond with one another. And I think that that's important. If you give time to bond where you guys have friendship time, like you and I hang out, we're professional, like we hang out professionally and we do things professionally together. But if we're also friends outside of it, I think that if we do things outside as friends, it gives time for when we go into that professional box that we don't have to worry about insults or anything like that. Because I can be real with you and you can be real with me because you know that out here, you know my heart. So I think that's where I've learned and that's what we've done differently this time. And for sure, it's been a lot better.
I think that's a really good method because it also gives you a larger frame of the person. Sometimes when we're stuck in just knowing one person as this role, you can't see the big picture of why they might be acting like, grumpy one day as opposed to nothing. But if you know the bigger picture, you're like, well, she's dealing with this on the side. And that will be able to give you grace inside the workplace as well.
Exactly. And I think that that's very important. You've got to have grace, even for me. And I tell them, look, I'm not perfect. And I even told them coming in, I said, I'm new to this. You know, we actually made mistakes and then we had a conversation and we said, okay, these are the things that we need to do as team lead, as him as director of operations, starting for the new year. We didn't even change the team photo. We didn't do anything because we said, you know what? While Hyvix Group might have started in April, we had some bumpy roads, but now in January, this is where we're going. We're going to just now hit it running. So,
is your website as effective as it could be? Are you using it for more than just marketing? And do you give it constant attention? If not, you're missing out. Your website should assist with your business operations from processes and procedures to client onboarding and tasks. Your website should work for you. It should be your best salesperson. Here at Name and Creative, we work with all of our clients strategically from the start. Don't miss out on all the opportunity that an effective website can provide. Schedule a free consultation with us today and discover how we can get you on the right track.
Yeah. So what are some of those long-term goals that do you have for your team? Have you thought we're entered 2024? So do we have?
Lord. Well, yes. Yeah. So I've always had this dream and I, like I said, there's enough for everyone to eat, right? I actually would like to have a mega office or my own office with a lot of agents that collaborate, like a workplace. I don't know the number. I'm like, God, I asked God, bring people that are supposed to be on my team, we're supposed to change each other's lives. I learned not to recruit hard. I don't want to hire fast. And I don't want to hire who I can't fire. And then I want it to be perfect. But I want us to have an office. I want us to have actually to have an in-house lender, in-house title, in-house attorney, in-house property management, because we do property management, commercial. I want us to have just little niches in real estate. We all work together. We all rent the space together. We all collaborate together.
Right.
And we all support each other's businesses so that we can all eat. And I feel like a relational environment is so important rather than being transactional with our customers. And I think that at that point when all of these realtors that were leaving, like 60,000, over 60,000 realtors left last year, I think I heard 50% of lenders left. Because the market did shift and change, you've got to go on with that shift. Gary Keller has that of the book called Shift. You have to have that mindset where you shift with the market. If you're collaborating with other business owners, I'm going to refer you business, you're going to refer me business, and we're not doing it because we're just doing it for the money. I'm referring you business because I know you're going to take care of my people,
right?
And they're going to refer you business, and therefore they're going to be happy with me, and they're also going to refer business. And people sometimes forget that referral basis, that literally that is how you build an empire, is by relationships, not by being cutthroat, not by being transactional, not by not caring for what you're doing. And there are some agents in the business that are like that. And some of them have been in business 10 years, but there may come a time in their life that if they continue that way, being cutthroat, it may not be where I'm building me, like my can pass this to my children. They might not be able to sell their book of business because they're so transactional. Me, I'll be able to.
Right.
And pass it on to my daughter or my kids or whoever, if they want to do it, or I can sell the book of business if they decide not to do real estate.
Right. And also just lay your head down at night in peace.
Yeah. Oh, that too.
You did the best you could. You know, you did right.
I can't sleep if I'm in quarrels or conflict with anybody. I can't imagine if I stole, like, if I was conniving or transactional or anything like that. Like, you know, I'm sure, and I've told people, like, you know, if I haven't done my best, I apologize to them. Like, when I lost my mom, I actually did have some contracts, and I told them, hey, guys, like, I'm taking a break from my phone. I have my transaction coordinator. And a lot of my customers actually understood because they know and I have a relationship with them. But if I was transactional and I told my mom died, and they're like, yeah, but are you going to take care of me? Some people are like that. And so that's why I'm like, okay, if I'm actually working with the people that I'm so supposed to be working with, it'll all work out and we'll understand each other. Because there might be, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be other major things that go on in my life. And, you know, and I'm going to have to be able to navigate through that. And I'm going to have to be able to navigate through those customers and those relationships. So, yeah, I can't imagine, just like I said, we're ethical, we're very relational. And that's what we pride ourselves on.
And just to backtrack, I mean, it sounds like this concept of a hive, you want, the vision is to bring it to a physical space and have like a physical hive of like buzzing relationships that help one another.
Yes.
The referral in that scenario would be not only because, you know what they can do, but like you literally see them every day. You
have
this
right.
Very strong relationship, and you know, you can trust, you can honestly refer because you can trust. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And as cliche as it may be, I told you, like, I've always, you know, reading and stuff. I know it takes a village, right? You hear this saying. That's actually one of my favorite sayings. When I was a stay-at-home mom, when I was tutoring and I was with other homeschool moms, we always would say it takes a village. And I used to say that as a kid myself, because I would not be where I am if I didn't have the right village. If God didn't bring those people in my life, like my dad, like pastors and just friends, and I wouldn't have met my husband, just things like that. It takes a village, and it not necessarily mom, dad, but it takes people. So in this hive, we are a village. We are collaborating. We're working together. If you're having a rough day, I want to be able to come and make you laugh or give you a hug or be there for you. And so it's not just necessarily work, but we're getting to know each other on that and that level. And I do have, my husband and I started, before we started the team, we started Hivex LLC, and I have an office in Ybor. And that was for if my clients needed me to help them with contractor work or anything like that, or cleaning, we could help with that because my husband does do that as well. But we also are flipping. We want to be able to flip and do rentals. So we were like, we'll do it under Hivex LLC. That'll be our company separate from real estate. And so we have an office in Ybor that the girls go in. We do our huddles and stuff there. It's a shared workspace with other offices, just one room or whatever. We decorated it, but it's not considered our office. Our office in Valrico for real estate is just this room, and it's decorated. I have like empowerment sayings. Everyone loves how we decorated our office, but it's a room I want to have where everyone has their workspace. So eventually that's where I see us. And in regards to the hive, my husband, so the ox comes from, oxes are very like, they're a foundation. So it's not just having a hive. We want to have a strong foundation, strong ground, firm ground that we stand on our ethics, on our values, on our business. And so the ox in the Bible, or just in general, has helped society build farming, plowing the ground. So it has a lot to do. Like, it's like that song, Buy Dirt, right?
Yeah.
So. Right. But we're literally, we're plowing the ground and we're setting a strong foundation for this hive, and we're collaborating together. They say my husband's the ox and I'm the queen bee.
Yeah.
Because he is. He's a gentle giant. But when he speaks, he's quiet. When he speaks, it's typically full of wisdom. So they say he's the ox. He's the one that's standing us. We're standing on him and his strong foundations and the values. And then we just collaborate. And we, with bees, I don't know if you know, but Einstein once said, if bees disappeared from the earth, and I'm sure you've seen the bee movie.
Yeah.
And somebody actually brought this up to me. We were at this retreat and I bought this little hive purse and I was just seeing bees like in certain little markets. So now that's our thing. Like I have literally like one of the girls, I have a bee. Here's my little bee keychain that Evie gave me. So anytime we see bees, we try to like buy the stuff. But and the girl told me, she's like, that's so awesome that you have the hive crib. And I said, well, yeah, bees are essential. They create honey, and without honey. And she goes, well, actually, Einstein said that the civilization, if we lost honey, and it, I think they said it in the bee movie, we would not survive as a people in the world.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God. So we want to be able to show that, you know what, we're providing you something to help you survive and from generations to come, for generations to come. So we want to build generational wealth as well.
So in this hive, you and your husband have this goal,
yeah,
this ultimate finish maybe, or the ultimate next step. Mm-hmm. Who knows when we're finishing, right?
That's right.
And the girls are excited, you know, your team is excited. They also have their own goals, right? So how do you keep them incentivized to work towards the bigger picture?
That's a very good question also. So I remember Evie telling me, as a team lead, we have to provide value. And I actually learned this also in Keller Williams Family Reunion. And she brought it up the other day and she goes, you know, for us to have people that want to stay on the team, I, as a team lead, my husband, we have to be able to continue to provide value. And which is why I said I'm never just going to be a rookie. I'm always going to want to continue learning so that I can provide value to my team and be there for them. I think that for us, our commission structure, it's not just about money, but I've learned that I've got to add value. So training, I got to have a knowledge that they may not possibly have. Commission structure, KW has their model and I looked at it. It was wonderful. But I felt like you may not have people stay with you if you're taking a lot out of it. So I do like that I'm able to pick at KW to follow my model. And the way that my husband said is like, yeah, you have an agent that you take 50% and yeah, they're making $300,000 a year while you're taking that 50%. But he goes, they have a family and I just don't feel right taking an extra. If I could just charge them, let's say, you know, 30%, they're still now they're bringing an extra 20%.
Right. I think we don't want to speak about money, but let's be real.
Yeah.
Like, we need money.
And so that's exactly what my husband was saying. He's like, while they may be okay with paying such and such team that amount, and I'm not speaking against any teams. I've actually was talking to another team lead and she told me, she's like, let me see how that works out for you. And I was like, it's okay. And not everybody's going to agree with me, but my husband does not feel right taking from another person if they could be bringing that home. And if we're profitable still, if I'm profitable, why am I going to take more money? So that's how he sees it. So we're trying to create it to where we're all profitable. We're all happy. We're all collaborating. We're all providing value. I myself and my husband, like I work with vendors. I have title companies that cover the girls' photos or that they will cover their open houses. They're not paying for anything out of pocket. I'm covering their marketing. I'm giving them leads. So that's where I'm also adding value, whereas maybe where they were at is not. And like I said, if they get it, they get it. If they don't, they don't. I always said if someone starts with you for money, they will leave for you for money. They've got to get you. And so bees, they're worker bees, right? You have to be everyone, and they get with each other and they back each other up. And so that's what I want. I don't want, I like I said, if they get me, they'll get us. They'll get us as a team. We do a 90-day trial period. I let them try us out. If for some reason I don't know them, I let them try it out. They hang out with us. They collaborate with us. I mean, I've had agents come and do activities with me. They want to come to an open house. Hey, I have a listing appointment. You want to come with me to a listing appointment? And they ride with me and we do the listing appointment, you know, and I have no problem. And a couple of them have left to other brokerages and I'm like wishing, I'm rooting them on. And I'm like, you've got this. You can do this. Just because the team didn't work out doesn't mean I can't root them on.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I think, and that is something that I think you touched on in the beginning too, which kind of sounds like, for instance, you have your 90 days. It kind of seemed in your past experience in teams, and I have, I think as a leader, that is how you learn, right? You learn by team to team. What goes wrong? Oops, I messed up there. Or especially if you can take accountability for it. Mm-hmm. Some people can't. And then I don't consider them leaders. So you have like a 90-day period. But I feel like maybe in your past, and I've experienced this too, I didn't have a system in place. And I also didn't know what systems to put in place. And do you think that now going forward, like what systems have you put in place to ensure that these goals are being met?
Yeah, you're right. I did not have the systems. I was relying on systems provided for me. And so now I have systems. Like for us, I do use the KW command, the Keller. I love it. Actually, it's very techy. So Keller Williams, their tech is really, really good. I like it a lot. I actually like that we use DocuSign instead of Dotloop, that things integrate together. But I also have my own things that I do. Like I have magazines that go out and I actually have digital marketing that goes out. So I put all of my people from the command or my closings into this system that I have. I have Bufini that I use to track my CRM and my earnings and things like that. Not just trusting KW, but seeing, wow, I didn't convert last year. Oh my goodness. There was like $3 million in sales that I did not convert, but it's a wake up call. Because it's like, man, they ended up canceling or ended up not. What can I learn from this? And it actually shows you in numerical value. So I use that and the referral maker process. So those would be pretty much, I set a schedule, time blocking. I wasn't great in doing that. If it's not on my calendar, it doesn't exist.
Yes.
So I had to crack down, girl. Let me tell you, I had to crack down on myself. And the girls, I'm telling you, they had to be like, you've got to put this in your calendar and no more rescheduling. We said this year. Because I would try to accommodate them or myself and they're like, don't reschedule. If they can't make it, they can't make it. Even if it's only three or four of us, we've got to stay consistent. So I told them I'm not canceling anything else. We have a resort day on Friday. It was rescheduled. The weather, granted. So we're hoping it's warmer because we had to reschedule it. So I'm hoping it's warmer on Friday. But our team meetings now are Tuesdays. We're not going to reschedule them or move them around or anything. You come to the team meeting or you don't. You know, if you can't make it, we do Zoom. We do, you know, there's been times where one of the girls couldn't make it and we had a Zoom. But, you know, so that's the thing. We have to we're trying to stay consistent. And before I was not, I've taken leadership classes. When I went to family reunion, Keller Williams, they were just so amazing in sending me to family reunion because I told them, this is what I want. This is my dream. And they said, you're going to go to family reunion. You're going to sit down and you have these different classes. And my husband would go sit at a class and I would go to sit at a class and we'd like divide and conquer so that we could learn. And it was funny because I remember he would argue about us not needing an admin and stuff like that. And then they took class and were like, this is why you need an admin. And he was like, you know, I'm like, oh, so you'll listen to them. But so, yeah, that's one thing. That's one of our goals this year. Right now, we haven't needed one because I have divided and conquered with the girls. Like, they're like, I want to do it myself. Like, I want to learn this. They don't want someone to do it for them. So we did interview. We do have a few listing people that we want to help us with listings and admins. But for now, we're just going to do it on a case-by-case basis. But we are, hopefully, by the mid-year, we do want to be so fully up and running that we do have an admin. And the girls, while they already know everything, now we can have the admin do it for us.
Right.
So they wanted to learn it. And then I told them, come mid-year, we're going to get an admin.
I think that's important. I think that's actually important that they want to learn it too, as well. Because I don't do what you do. But like in my own experience, opening up my own firm, I didn't know how to file things. Like I didn't know what a paralegal would do, you know? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to hire a paralegal unless I know how to do her job. Mm-hmm. You know, so, or his job could be a boy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I taught myself how to file, which sounds ridiculous coming out of law school, but you do. You have to teach yourself how to file things. And now I've hired an assistant and now I feel I can train her, right? Like, otherwise I would just be hoping she could do her job.
And that's the thing that we're like, can you train me how to do it? And I'm like, yeah, I can show you because they're like, you're doing it for me. And so that was a hard pill that I had to swallow because I was just so, back then, I wasn't hands-on and now I'm like trying to do it for them and they're like no, like I thought that I needed to provide that because I see other teams providing that. And one of the things that my husband always constantly reminds me, he's like do you remember you always say you want to stay in your lane? And he's like, you're not staying in your lane, you're looking again at other teams and what they're doing. He goes, we'll get there, but we have to build a strong foundation and we have to do it the way we want to because our dream is not their dream,
right?
And there's so many ways to do things correctly,
right?
So
And so with that, when you are thinking about, I mean, we all do, right? You'll kind of compare whatever to leaders, to other leaders, to other teams. But for you, if I were to cut, if somebody was come to you and say, I am about to lead this team of agents, what would be the critical qualities that you would tell them that they need to strive for, to have, to build their strength in? Like, what qualities does a leader who runs a team like you need?
Patience. I think grace, room for grace, because if you've got a new agent, they're going to want to be at your side, or they're going to want to know, have classes. So you've got to be able to provide, be able to be gracious with them and to give them room to grow. But you also have to provide resources for them, because that's what they're going to want to be learning. They're going to want to be looking for. So I would say patience, grace, a kindness, like, you know, to be able to deal with different personalities. I actually have a patience to deal with people who are not like me a lot. Like, people are like, how are you friends with that person? Or have you been friends so long with that person? I'm like, well, because I see the good in them. I have been burnt. Don't get me wrong. I actually had to learn, like, okay, if you see them stealing, or like, there's no way to change stealing and lying, and you have to be careful with those. But while they may not have the same beliefs as me, we just don't bring politics, we don't bring religion, but we're friends, and I'm there for them, and I'm rooting them on. So I would say that. I would also say, so having the tools that they need to be their leader, like, they're coming to you for a reason. You can't leave them empty-handed. They're going to be like, gimme, gimme, gimme. I would say to have positivity. There are times that this business will get you down, and you're just like down in the dumps. And our day, there's a meme that it's like this. It'll go like this. Then it's like really, really, really high, and you're having a really, really good day. And then you get a phone call, and it'll bah, and you'll just fall. So I think having to stay positive and in that mindset of being positive, or just gratitude and knowing that you have the ability. I look at it as a privilege that I have a team. I don't look at like I'm a head honcho. You have to have humbleness. And for me, I am so grateful for them. I'm so grateful that they see me as their leader. Like, I'm so grateful to be in this position, to be able to do what I do, that it just wants me to be a better person. And so I think that when you come from that mindset, rather than I'm head honcho and come follow me, I think you'll see and do bigger and better things.
And it sounds like a wonderful hive to work in. Every word that you said was patience, kindness, grace, humbleness. Like, there is nothing stern in that language. That's wonderful.
I mean, there's business, you have to be stern. You should see me negotiating some contracts. But it doesn't mean that I, you know, we can't be stern and we can't be. But as a leader, you just have to come from that mindset. That's all. I mean, I am pretty a skilled negotiator.
I'm sure.
But I'm still nice.
My baddie. So,
yeah,
I'm a baddie.
But let me tell you, listing agents are like, I love working with you, man. You were on it. Or buyer's agents, too. And they'll call me and be like, can I be on your team? And they'll call me before and they'll say, as a buyer's agent, oh, you have a team? I would love to talk to you. And then by the end of the transaction, they'll mention, I'm like, oh, we're not looking for agents right now, because I saw how they worked and I was like, this is not going to be a good fit.
Right. So Liz, tell, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, work with you, how do they get a hold of you?
So we have an Instagram at the Hyvix Group. My personal page is at Loose Around the Bay. So the girls have a slogan. Tiffany is your rockin' and sneakers realtor. I'm Loose Around the Bay. Vicky is Realtor V. And then Evie is Homes with Evie. But everybody has their slogan and their own personality. As a team lead, a lot of teams don't let you do that. I let them have their photos and their listing signs and their slogans. So they could look us up on any one of those platforms for the girls. They have the Hyvix Group there. But at Loose Around the Bay, I have it linked as well on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We're going to be doing YouTube. We're heavily going to be starting to do YouTube as well, because I love to make videos about just me going out to eat. And that's why it's Loose Around the Bay. So I'm going to be doing that, and we're going to be promoting that. So you'll be able to reach out, or if you want to reach out directly, 813-846-6379, send me a text. I've had agents reach out, and I'll sit and have coffee with you and tell you the business.
Absolutely love this. This was great. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. And also thank you for that plant is still alive that you gave me for my mom.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.